Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and did worship. And he said unto him, What thou say, my Lord, unto his servant? You know what? Joshua knew his place before God.
Yeah.
And when God showed up, you know what Joshua did? Whoom, right down to his knees. Move. You know what? I know my place. I know my place. You know what? I'm going to do what you say. What do you want me to do? I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? Joshua had a godly reverence. He knew he needed to stay right with God. You know what? When the bickering and stuff was going on at Korah, you know what? Joshua wasn't involved in it.
Yeah.
You know what? No way. He was up by Moses' side. Because he was on the Lord's side. You know what? If Moses had it gone wrong, Joshua would have been on the other side. Joshua would have been on God's side.
Right.
Joshua was going to follow the Lord. Joshua had a godly reverence in his life, and he wanted to go where God wanted him to go. He knew his place, and he knew it was only God that stood between him and destruction in his life. And I tell you, that's a good place to be.
Amen.
That's a good place to be.
Because
that's not self-reliance, that's God-reliance.
Amen.
You know what? You can't rely upon yourself. You know, the men's home isn't a self-help program.
Thank God.
It's a God-only program.
There's
no other second string to the bow. It's God or nothing. It's God or nothing. Make no mistake about it. If God doesn't change a man, he's not going to be changed. God doesn't change the stinking, filthy heart. It's not going to be changed by what man can do. You know what? The Gadarene demoniac, you know, he was up there in the graveyard and he's nude, cutting himself a stone, self-harming and stuff like that. And you know what? His family came down. They tried to put shackles on him. His friends tried to put boundaries in his life. Everybody tried to help him. But you know what? He wasn't able to be helped. You know why? Because his problem of sin was bigger than he could manage. He had the evil spirits in him that were just controlling his whole life. And you know what? He was in desperate need. The Bible says he was crying out for help. But you know what? Help got off a boat that day and help walked through. And the Bible says he ran and he worshipped Jesus. What changed his life?
Jesus.
What did he have to do? Get to
Jesus.
You know what, folks? If you would get to Jesus and get a holy reverence for God, I tell you, you'd be in a better standing. You'd be in a better standing in your life, and you wouldn't do some of the filthy sin you do. If you really took on board who God was and you really got a godly reverence in your life, you wouldn't do some of the stuff you do. And that's the truth. Point number 5. Joshua had courage. Oh, Joshua had courage. Listen, that fella had ball. I tell you, he had it. He had barrel loads. He was just a man. He was a man that had courage. Joshua 10:25. You can turn there quickly. It's a really familiar verse. Joshua 10:25 says, Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. You know what? Joshua was convinced that God could see them all the way through. You know, Joshua was a savage fighter, folks. But he wasn't relying upon how good a fighter he was to take the promised land. He knew he was tiny. He knew that they were going to be wiped out if they tried to take that land. But you know what? He had a big picture of God in his mind. He had courage. He depended upon God. He had that faith in his life. And he trusted God to see them all the way through. He was dependent upon God to win the victories in his life and not himself.
Amen.
He was dependent upon God to win the victory. And you know, there's nothing too hard for the Lord, you know. God can bring us out of the pit that we're in right now. And you say, well, I'm not in the pit. But you know what? Maybe you're right on the edge. And maybe if you don't make some changes in your life soon, you're going to be in the pit. You know what? You're on your way there if you don't make some changes in your life. You know what? We all need fired up. So let's get fired up. Let's get moving. Let's get some backbone and courage in our lives. And let's start making the tough decisions. You know, God's wanting to use somebody like you. He hasn't got somebody like you. He hasn't. He has an uneducated person like me to do what I do in Tala, but he has nobody like you. Because we're all individuals. He made us all different because he needs us all.
Amen.
And he needs you. You know what? In your life, God wants to use you. And he will. If. That's a big if. It's a real big if. You have to see beyond the walls of Jericho. Folks, do you understand that? You have to see beyond the walls of Jericho. You have to see beyond the giants. Now, I know they look rough. And I know they seem real hard and real big, and their swords are real big and real sharp. And I know them walls of Jericho are real, real thick. I know they're thick. I know they have many, many men inside them. I know your problems are big. I know your heart is hard. I know you maybe haven't seen God do it in your life in the past if you're a new Christian. But you know what? God wants to use you. And if you could just get past yourself and how you see it and how you see God, do you know God could use you? You know what? Don't let your problems become so big that God can't change them and God can't just knock them walls down, wipe them joints out of your life. Because you know what? You think your joints are big. There's a whole lot of people in here that have had bigger joints in their lives and God has wiped them out.
Amen.
Had bigger walls blocking them from victory than you have. And you know what? God's knocked them walls down too. Listen, if you were to follow the Lord, if you were to get some courage, if you were to do what Joshua did, you would move forward. God would use you because God's bigger than the issues in your life. It's all about your willingness to give them up. To give up your strongholds. To give up what's holding you back. Point number 6. Joshua was a man of obedience. Joshua 11:15 says, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. You know what? Everything that God was commanding Moses to do, Joshua did it.
Amen.
You know what? Joshua followed Moses. Joshua made sure that he was there when Moses needed something. He was always on the end of the phone. He never turned off his mobile phone. When Moses needed that, and Joshua was on the end of the phone. What do you need, boss? What do you need, boss? No problem. There was never a problem. Nothing was ever too big. No sacrifice was ever too big. He was willing to follow his leader, do whatever his leader was doing, and be a help. He was obedient. You know, he wanted to do everything that the preacher said. He didn't hold back. He followed Moses all the way. And we need to be like that.
Yes.
We need to follow the preacher all the way. And if there's bickering against him, if you hear something, somebody saying something negative about Aunt that's going on, you stamp it out.
Amen.
You stamp it out. Otherwise, you're going to have a chorus situation on in your church. You know, and you'll end up having a church split. You know why?
Yeah.
Because there's always somebody sitting in the pew that thinks, I could do a better job than that better fella. You know what? You see what he just done? See the way he just talked to that person?
Yeah.
You know what? There's always somebody sitting there and in their mind they're thinking, I could do a better job. Do you know what? There's probably men in the men's home right now that think, I could do a better job than Nate Kelly. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. If God would just give me that position, I could do a better job. He misses this and he misses that. Do you know what? God didn't put you in that position.
That's right.
God didn't make you the preacher. And he didn't make you in charge of the men's home.
Yeah, right.
You know what? You'll end up going into the pit if you keep thinking like that. You know, Joshua didn't think like that. He just followed his leadership. He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed he obeyed what Moses wanted him to do. He obeyed God. And you know, the problem with some of us here is some of us are defeated in our sin before we even got down to Cork. Some of us were defeated before you stepped your feet out of the car. You know why? Because you've made a conscious choice before you even got here that you're not going to give up the sin that you came here with. You're not going to give up the attitude that you came here with. And you know what? You got out of your car defeated and God can't help you. You know why? Because you're not helpable. You need to make yourself helpable. You need to say, God, I'm sorry for that. You know what? I'm willing to do anything you say. Anything you say. And you need to do whatever God tells you. You know, this is a key point. You know what? It's not just about doing what your preacher wants you to do. That's automatic. You should be doing that. But you know what? God has given, if you're born again, God has given you His Spirit to live within your chest. And you know what? Spirit of God is there to lead us, to help us, to keep us from damaging ourselves, to keep us pure, to keep us going in the right direction, to keep us being effective. You know, if God tells you to go over here, don't go there. If God tells you to get rid of a sin in your life, get rid of the sin.
Yep.
If God tells you to turn off that TV,
yeah.
Turn off that TV.
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody might know, but God knows.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God lives in your chest. Everything that you watch, He watches.
Yeah.
And it grieves Him. And you wonder why, when you're praying, it's like you're back in the Catholic Church.
Come on,
God's
man.
Not there.
Yeah.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You are praying to space and space alone if you have sin in your life that God told you to get rid of and you're in open rebellion and you're not getting rid of it. Because God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's what David said. He knew it. Because he knew how it felt. Because he was up to his neck in sin. And he says, you know what? When I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear me. But you know what? He knew that. He got right with God. Bang. Right then and there, God hears him. Right then and there, God starts answering, starts moving forward again. You know what? God has given you a blessed thing. He's given you His personal spirit to live in your chest. If you would just let that spirit lead you, you would be flying. You know what? Each of us were in bed last night. Let's say you heard the smoke alarm go off at 3 o'clock in the morning in your room. Beep, 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 beep. There's not one of you that stay in your bed and saying, I don't believe it. Not one of you. Everybody would be out. Everybody would be in the car park. You'd be grabbing your stuff. You'd be running out the door. Some of you would be grabbing food because you only think about your belly. Now, if you heard a smoke alarm going off in your room last night, you would have ran out the door. You know why? Because you knew you were in danger. Folks, the Spirit of God lives in your chest. If He tells you something's not right and something needs to go, get it to go. Get it to go. He's not doing it for a laugh. He's not doing it to annoy you. He's doing it to protect you. He's doing it to keep you usable. To keep you in a place where He can flow through you. But that sin will stop that. That sin will stop that and put you in a place of bondage. You need to make sure that you get right and stay right. You need to be obedient to your leadership and the leading of God. You need to be obedient to what the Word of God teaches and not think you have a new slant on it. If you wake up and you have these visions around like that and you think you've seen God and all that kind of stuff, trust me, go to the Bible. Trust me. Just keep going back to the Bible. Never mind any of that stuff. You keep going back to the Bible. If God leads you to do something like give up television or stop watching this kind of movie or stop watching Simpsons or something like that, and listen, if you watch that, you're corrupt.
That's right.
You're corrupt. You know what? Give it up. Give it up. It's not worth holding on to it. Last point before the rest of them is decision. It's decision. Turn your Bibles to Joshua 24:15 again. Joshua 24:15. Joshua's nearly coming to the end of his life, the end of his ministry, end of his leadership role with the children of Israel. And he says in verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you whom this day you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But he says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what? He made a conscious decision that him and his family and those people that he had influence over, that they were going to serve the Lord. And that's exactly what you need to do. There needs to be a decision in your life for God today. There needs to be a decision to serve the Lord. There needs to be a decision to move forward. There needs to be a decision in your life to change the things that aren't right. You know, there needs to be a decision in your life that you want your character changed.
Amen.
You know what? You don't want to end up being the same as you were last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to move forward.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, if you've had a bad year, make sure it doesn't be the same next year.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Yeah.
You know, look back at the last time you were here last year. You know what? How much has God used you in the past 12 months? Well, not actually that much. It's been a quiet year. You know why? Because you're compromised. You know what? Let's start making that conscious decision to serve the Lord. Otherwise, you automatically go and serve somebody else. We need to serve the Lord. We need to make them changes in our life, you know, that are going to be a help to us, that are going to sustain us through hard times. You know what? If 40 million people think something's a dumb idea, have a guess what?
Dumb idea.
It's a dumb idea. You know what? Let's make sure that when we know stuff is wrong, we get rid of it because it's wrong. You know what? We don't make excuse. We don't, you know, change around. It's not so bad. It's not as bad as I used to do. It's bad. Get rid of it. You know, just because everybody else is doing it, it doesn't mean you have to do it. You know what? That's how I ended up being a drug addict. Because my friends, the peers that I was hanging around with, those people that I spent time with, everybody was just mingling with drugs and doing drugs. And you know what? I started to do drugs and I got caught up in the stuff that I never thought I'd get caught up with, and it took all my teenage years away from me. I gave it away. I threw it away. I burned it all up. Folks, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you know, the wrong kind of people will lead you into disaster. They lead you down the wrong road. I said earlier that Jesus said a broad road is the one that leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. You know what? The narrow way is the way to go. It's not the easy way, but it's the only way. We need to go the Lord's way. Who are you letting influence your life? You know, Joshua ended up being like Moses because he let Moses influence his life. Who are you letting influence your life? You have to make a choice today. You're either going to keep doing what you're doing, or you're going to make the changes to change your life. You know what? Joshua saw victory over 31 kings in his time going through the promised land. 31 kings. You know why? Because he made a decision to serve the Lord. And he didn't give it up when it got hard. He didn't turn his back on God when it got hard. He had victory over 31 kings in that promised land. You know why? Because he had a spine, he was a man, he was a leader, and he followed God with everything that was in him. If we would just be like that man, we would not be in the position that we're in right now. We need to, you need to, I need to make a decision today to wholly follow the Lord. Brother Redbear.
Let's just bow for just a moment.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pastor Pittman, you might be a little bit taller, but I have more hair.
You win!
It's gone, but you know, it's gone. I'm catching up, but I believe I'm still growing, so. God didn't bless me with long legs, but he did bless me with good looks, so.
We're going in the right direction
this morning. Folks, wasn't it good to have the men's home sing?
Amen.
How many was here last year from the men's home? Just remember? Okay, so we have doubled that this year. Maybe next year you're going to have to rent a bigger building.
I think we will.
But it's good to see us all again. Some people we haven't seen in a long time. It's good to see us again. I'm glad I'm here. I hope you are awake, because it's a long sermon. Trust me. Trust me. I had a sermon done, and it was up till 2:30 last night, studying, and I had a sermon done. And this morning when I woke up, the Lord led me to change my entire sermon. So Pastor was just out this morning. He was laid in because he was printing off my notes. And I was still trying to finish them on the sea. So I'll try to finish them as I'm preaching, and you just bear with me. So it is good to be here. I'm glad I'm here. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to start preaching. But do stay awake. You need to be glad you're here.
Amen.
You know, it's been real, real good. And make sure your phones are off.
Yeah.
Make sure your phones are off. I won't name and shame anybody, but Paul O'Keefe's phone went off twice last night. So we just want to make sure that happens again. But it is good. The men's home sang real well. And we're glad that they were all able to make it. So we're glad to be here. We're glad all to be down from Tala. Pray for us, because we need it. I need it. The men's home need it. But things are progressing well. But we're going to pray and we're going to preach. And we're going to look at Joshua's character. One of the big things about being a drug addict is... addiction, sin destroys your character. And it is vital for us to have character.
Yes, sir.
You will never accomplish anything for your family, for the Lord, if you don't have good character. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to open our hearts and prepare us for the preaching of His Word, so that He might be glorified in our lives this morning. So let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, O God, for this time that we can set ourselves aside and be dedicated, Lord, and seek You. And, oh God, we're asking, oh God, that You would give us soft hearts, give us teachable minds, Lord, that we would be bendable and movable to what You want us to be. Lord, would You break the hard heart in here this morning? Lord, those people that are stuck in bondage this morning, Lord, would you free them from their chains of sin? Lord, is anybody here that's not saved this morning? Lord, I do pray, Lord, that they would be saved, that they would see the light, that, Lord, You would just reveal Yourself to them, and that You would show Yourself, that You're the Savior and You came to seek and save that which is lost. Lord, would You help us all to be prepared for what You're going to say to us. Lord, we pray that You would use Your Word, that You keep the enemy back from this meeting, that he wouldn't have anybody's heart this morning, that he wouldn't discourage hearts this morning, that he would be held back, and Your Spirit would have free reign in the lives of men today. Lord, we ask for a blessing from heaven, a fresh touch from You, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the biggest problems we have... in the world, especially in Ireland, is the lack of leadership. Yeah. You know, and it's lack of leadership really in our churches, in our families, even in our government. You know, our government's so messed up right now, it's crazy. If we were to go back to the polling station and Bertie Ahern was to walk in, even though he was a crook and we all know he skimmed off the top and stuff like that, even though we all know that and we know he was a bit dodgy, the man had leadership qualities.
Yes.
And people had confidence in him. And you know what? If he was to stand up there, even though you know he might have made a couple of million on the side every year, you'd still vote him in. Why? Because you don't want somebody standing up in the position of leadership that's not qualified to lead and that hasn't got them leadership qualities. You know, Bertie Ahern has, you know, worldly leadership qualities. That's not exactly what we're needing. We're not needing a bunch of hooks and crooks to be running our churches and our families. What we're needing is godly leadership.
Yep.
And you know, a godly leader will breed confidence in the people he's leading. As a man, as a father, if you're confident in your leadership and the authority that God has given you, you will breed confidence into your wife and family when you're making hard decisions.
Yeah.
If you're a preacher and you're involved in a ministry, if you have to make hard decisions, if you stay confident and stay true to what God has called you to do, you will breed confidence in the people and they will follow you. But if they see you backing off, you know what? They'll go to somebody else that will lead them right. So you need to make sure that your leadership qualities breeds confidence to the people that you're leading. You know, I wasn't always confident in any way. I was a drug addict for many years, like you would all know that. But you know what? I didn't get clean and get sorted out because I thought I could, or I thought God could deliver me or set me free. I didn't think that at all. There was one thing that stood in the way for me walking out and doing my own thing again, and that was a preacher named David O'Gorman.
Amen.
And he gave me the confidence to follow through what I needed to do. You know, when he looked at me, he has these pinhole eyes. He actually looks like he's on drugs sometimes, right? He has these pupils that are always tiny. And, you know, he just looked at me and I was convinced. I was convinced by his leadership and authority that he knew what he was talking about, even though I was a fool that didn't know anything. You know, when I stood in the doctor's office that day and I was looking to get off the drugs to go away, and Pastor sitting there and the doctor has all these certificates on the wall and the doctor saying, no, just stay on the drugs and just get stable and everything be okay. And Pastor just looks and says, no. You see, Pastor's leadership and authority superseded that of the doctor with the certificates on the wall. You see, it doesn't matter what you have on the wall, it's what's in your heart and what God has done in your life. And Pastor O'Gorman's eyes of faith really were it for me. I didn't really need much more than that. I knew if I followed through and done what he said, everything would just work out. And I don't know how I knew that, but I just really, really knew it in my heart. And you know, in the room today, you know, there's a lot of people in here that, you know, could be good leaders, but the truth is they're not, because they're not willing to make the hard decisions. They're not willing to take a stand in their life for anything. You know, they'll take a stand about a football team, but they don't take a stand about anything else. They'll take a stand for what's right. They cower away and hide under a chair. You know, we've lost what it means to be real men.
Amen.
And we really need to get it back. You know, nobody else is going to get it. You're not going to have somebody breeze into your church and just take control. God has you and the local church that you're involved in, and you just need to take the bull by the horns and get under the preacher and start moving forward for the Lord and making them decisions and become the leader and all that God wants you to be.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're going to end up just wasting away, sitting in a back pew doing nothing for God. And you will look on your deathbed, you'll be sitting there thinking, you know what, why didn't I do more?
Yeah.
Why didn't I get the finger out years ago? And you know, it's time to start moving forward.
Amen.
You know, it's time to start becoming the leaders that God wants us to be. You know, our country's in financial bankruptcy right now. We're dying. We're borrowing money left, right, and center to pay our debts and to keep the country going. But, you know, it's because of the lack of leadership. And the reason why we're going to stay in the mess for another few years is because the government haven't got the backbone to make the hard decisions and just cut the things that are wrong, to get rid of the bank people that made the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
You know, they're still pumping money into this leaky bucket. And it's just crazy. I don't have the answers for it all, but I know what we need. We need a good leader.
Yeah.
We need somebody that's going to stand up and just fix the problem. It's the same. We've had the same problem in our health service for years. It's crazy. You know, you go in, you're sitting on a trolley for days and days and days. You know why? Because there's no leader taking control and just getting the job done.
Yeah.
You know why our churches aren't growing the way they should? Because nobody's grabbing the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the preachers really, it's the people in the churches that need to do it. You know, you need to stand up and be counted in your church. You know, we're struggling because of lack of leadership. You know, the families in the church are struggling because the husband won't lead. And the problems in the family are always with the husband. Always with the husband. If your family isn't right, it's your fault. And you need to stop blaming circumstances and hard times. You know, if you're married and you have kids, you know, the problems are your fault because you're the one that's in control. And you know, if you're looking at getting married, you know, you need to make sure that you're a man before you get married.
Yeah.
Because if you're not a man before you get married, your wife will end up bossing you around for the rest of your life. You need to know who you are and what you should be and what you should be doing. You need to become a man. I'm only married just under 5 years. But you know, I do believe that I have some of the things relatively clear in my mind of what I have to do and what's needed to be done to get the job done. Because I know if I was to leave it, my wife would be running the show. You know, she wants a leader. And if somebody doesn't lead her, she'll lead herself. And if she leads herself, she'll end up in trouble.
Yeah.
So we need to be very, very careful that we're taking a strong leadership position that God wants us to take, but not being a bully like was said earlier. But, you know, it starts by taking control of what God wants you to do. You know, you can get a big bull. I used to live on a farm, and you can get a big bull, and he can be massive. He can be the biggest bull ever. But you put a little gold ring in his nose, doesn't matter how big and stubborn that bull is, you can lead him around to go anywhere you want him to go. Now, I'm not calling your wife a bull, but you know what? If you would lead her, she would follow you. You know, and that's the truth. God designed them so that they would follow you. But he designed you that you would lead, so you need to make sure that you lead. Women are led by their emotions. So they will end up in trouble if they're not led right. So we need to make sure that we are leading them right and keeping them flying straight. And you know, after this retreat, I do hope some of you go home and take the trousers back off your wives and put them back on. And take your wallet off your wife.
Yeah.
Start being the man that God wants you to be.
Amen.
You know, it's all about manhood. This is why we're a men's retreat. This is why it's not family retreat.
Amen.
This is men's retreat so we can go home men. And we can take the strong stand that God wants us to take as men.
Amen.
You know, Pastor, my wife's not going to get this message, is she? Well, just let me tell you a little story about my wife. My wife's the most humble wife in our church. She's the most humble lady in our church.
Amen.
I mean, the last time we had a fight, she came back to me on her hands and knees. And she said, if you don't get up from under that bed, I'm going to get in there and kill you. You know, so make sure my wife doesn't get the message. But I think my wife and me get along great because I'm a little bit taller than her and we see things the right way. But it's wonderful when you have a wife that will come on board and will back you up. You know, right now my wife is detoxing a young lady in our house, getting her off drugs. And taking our 3-year-old kid on board while she goes into rehab. You know, you can't beat that, folks. If you will lead your wife, she will do stuff like that. And that's all off the bat. I didn't have to press her to do any of that.
Yeah.
She volunteered to do all that kind of stuff because she was led good at the start. When we got married, and she wants to serve the Lord.
Amen.
But it all starts by the man being all that he needs to be.
Amen.
So you want to progress with your wife, you're going to have to start leading her in the right way. Well, we're going to look at a couple of issues in Joshua's life. You know, what got Joshua to the place where in chapter 24, verse 15, you know, he said the statement, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, how did Joshua get to that place in his life? How did he get to that place where he was willing to go it alone? He didn't care what everybody else in his tribe were going to do, what everybody else in the country was going to do.
Amen.
How did he get to that place in his life where he stood up in front of them all? He's not far from being dead, but he says, you know what? I don't care what the rest of you do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And because you're going to serve somebody. So you may as well serve the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the devil is a hard taskmaster. You could ask any of them men that are standing up there. They've all been in bondage for years and years, and it's only by serving the Lord that they've learned to be free of addiction.
Amen.
And you need to make sure that you understand that you're going to serve somebody. Everybody serves somebody. Everybody serves something. And you would be better placed to serve the Lord and do things His way. Otherwise, you're going to end up all messed up. and you're going to end up in trouble. You know, Joshua got to the place in his life where he didn't care how tough things got. He didn't care how it looked to anybody else, but he was going to serve the Lord. He was going to go in that direction in his life, and it didn't matter what anybody said. So how did he get there? Got there through character. We're going to look at 7 points about the character of Joshua, and then we're going to be done. Now, I didn't say how long the points were, but we're going to look at 7 points. But point number one is, and you're better off having a sharp pencil rather than a long memory, so take notes. Joshua, first thing about Joshua's character, Joshua was a man of faith. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Chapter 14 of the book of Numbers. We're looking at Joshua, so we're going to be looking around Joshua and Numbers a bit this morning. So if you'll turn there, starts in verse 6 by talking about Joshua and about Caleb, and they were quite similar, the two of these characters. And you know, they came from searching the land. And verse 7 says, "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land, and he will give it to us, and the land which flow with milk and honey." You know, Joshua and Caleb didn't see the hopeless situation that the rest of the ten phonies saw. You know, they saw a land flowing with milk and honey. They saw that blessing as theirs. They wanted to get back there right away. They didn't want to stay out of promised land. They wanted to get right in it. But you had a bunch of people, and you'll always have this. You'll have people that want to serve the Lord, and you'll have a bunch of people, and they will be more, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. You will have a load of negative people in the background, not wanting to do anything, not wanting to spend any money, not wanting to take on new missionaries because they're not sure about the budget, not wanting to get a new church minibus, not wanting to go out and do anything, because you know why? It's too hard out there. Too hard out there. And you know, American missionaries, we love yous coming over, but you know what? A bunch of yous are a bunch of babies going home when things get hard, giving up. And it's true. Giving up and going home after spending 4 years searching for money and coming over here and then going back after the year, it's an absolute disgrace, and they should be made pay back every penny they got from. They got from old ladies and people making, stepping out in faith, giving them money. I tell you, it is shocking. It's daylight robbery. You know what? If you're committed and you're over here to do ministry, you need to stay until God says you need to go.
Yeah.
And you know that He won't just tell you; He will lead through your leadership too.
Right.
So you know, you don't just say, "Well, I'm going home." If the leadership don't see it, you're just backsliding. You need to get right and stay on the field and do the job that God wants you to do. Joshua and Caleb went through. You know what? They were just the same size as the other 10 blokes, but you know what? Their hearts were different. Their hearts were different. Their hearts were on fire for God. They saw God could give them the victory. They had developed their eyes of faith through, over time, through godly leadership. You know what? They looked at Moses all the time and said, you know what? He's the man we need to be like. We need to be like Moses. We need to do what Moses has done. And they looked at Moses. They examined his life, and they ended up becoming like him. And you know, when they got back, they said, let's go. They wanted to go back and take the promised land that God has given them already. And you know, if you're going to fall apart any time difficult situations come into your life, you'll never move forward.
Yeah.
You'll never move forward.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be seeing things in a different light.
Yeah.
When everybody around you sees things negative, you need to be saying, it's not that bad. God's still in control.
Yeah.
We need to move forward. And you know, Joshua and Caleb, they were great. You know, you think about it. They went in and saw some terrible things, big cities. You know, big people. They saw giants. But you know what? They came back thinking, man, this is going to be easy. This is going to be easy. When everybody else was still in slave mentality mode and they wanted to run back to Egypt and wanted to run back to what they knew, I tell you, it's easy to run back to your sin and go back to your old ways, because that's what you know what's best. You know, it's easy to do that. But it takes a different man and a different heart to say, you know what, I've never been down this road before, but this is the way God wants me to go.
Yeah.
This is the place God has put me in. This is the church God has put me in. This is the men's home God has put me in. You know what, I'm going to go all the way down this road until God changes my direction.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to follow through all the way with what God has for you. Otherwise, you're a man lacking faith. You are in unbelief. You need to see the way God works. You need to go the way God is going. You need to stay on the road God has put you on. And you need to get under a godly leader like Moses and learn from him. Whoever God has you under right now, learn everything about them. Learn what makes them tick. You know, check them out. Look, try find out what they like, what they dislike, what they do with their time. You know, I lived with Pastor Gorman for 6 months or so, so I know what makes him tick and I know what he does. I know what he does every morning. He gets up and makes a fry for his family every morning. Gets up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. He's up before everybody else. And he has a fry up made for his family and breakfast made for his family every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's on the table every morning. Mm-hmm. And they all always have family devotions together. Mm-hmm. Man, when I saw that, I thought, maybe they're just doing it because I'm living here. And you know what? They have family devotions at dinner time too. And I was thinking, man, they're just doing this to help me grow a bit. But you know what? They still do it. Now, I don't know whether they think I'm still coming up and checking and stuff like that. But they still do it. You know why? Because that's what he does. He is a man of faith. And he's leading his family in the right direction. You know, we need to be willing to see things the way God sees them. If you want to be a leader, you need to get a vision for beyond what you can see. You know, see the men's home. You know, the last time I was here, I didn't have a men's home or anything like that. The last time I was here was 2 years ago in the old place that we used to be in. And, we didn't have a men's home. But I was sure one day I would have a men's home. It was always in my prayer letters. You know, that was always the driving force, the goal behind it all. That's always what we were praying and seeking for. You know, you have to have a vision beyond what you can see.
Yeah.
You know what? See when the Israelites were going in to take Jericho. You know what? They weren't taking it that day. They have to have a vision for 7 days later when they marched around the walls. You know what? It wasn't right then and there. It was further around the corner. But God needed them to do some things before they got there, before the walls fell. And maybe in your life you need to be doing some stuff and get a vision for what God wants to see you be used for. You need to become a man of faith and be seeing things through God's eyes. You know, Joshua's life matched up to what he said. You know, he wanted to go up and possess it. He didn't say, yeah, yous all should go up and possess it. I think they're going to do a good job. You know what? He didn't say that. He said, we're going to go up.
Yeah.
He was going to put his neck on the line. He was going to put his reputation on the line. His life is on the line too. And you know what? He was no fool. He was a warlike man, but you know what? He was no fool. He knew the God of heaven was on his side, and he had the faith to trust God because he'd seen God move in times past, and he was willing to go all the way. And you know, it was kind of like that with Pastor O'Gorman. When I went into Pastor O'Gorman and I was a junkie, you know, he didn't see that. He didn't see that. He just saw somebody that God could use. He saw somebody who God could change. He saw somebody who God could deliver from a life of sin and bondage. And let me tell you, he was seeing it through eyes of faith.
Yes.
I didn't see it. And you know what? There's people in your life and in your ministry right now that maybe you don't see them coming through. But you know what? That's because you're not looking through the glasses of faith. And you need to get right with God, put on the glasses of faith and see things the way God sees them, and maybe you'll look at them in a different light. Caleb and Joshua saw things differently than the other 10 guys that went out with them. And you know what? They saw the potential that was in front of them. They could see themselves living in those castles. They could see themselves living in those towns, living it up and doing all the stuff that the people were doing in them towns. And they wanted it. They wanted a prosperous life. They wanted to be used of God. They wanted to go in and grab all that God had for them.
Yeah.
They were men of faith. They wanted it all. If you have somebody in your life right now that you're not sure about that's struggling in sin and they're in and out of your church all the time, you know, it's not a program around like that. You need to get them to. Paul Couch, what do you need to get them to?
Jesus.
You just need to get them to Jesus. Just need to get them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus will do the rest.
Yeah.
You know what? Your job doesn't need to be, you know, I need to change this in their life. I need to change that problem in their life. I need to do this. I need to tell them this. You just need to bring them to Jesus and get them to Jesus and keep getting them back to Jesus until they change. And if you can get them to Jesus enough, he will change them. You know, you just need to keep getting them back and putting time into them. We need to be men of faith. You know, it is crucial. It's the first point. I know I spent a long time in it. Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to make sure that we're in a place where we're hearing the word of God. You know, I don't know where all your churches, where he's come from. I believe he's all come from good churches. But if you don't, make sure you get in, plugged into a good church.
Yeah.
You need to be hearing the word of God.
Amen.
You know, you need to get under the word of God. So Joshua was a man of faith. That was his first bit of his character. That's what changed him into being the man that was going to serve the Lord. The second one is entire consecration. Numbers 32. If you'll turn there for a minute. Book of Numbers, chapter 32. Let your fingers do the walking over there. Her consecration. Now, you know, verse 11, it says, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upwards shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because thou hast not wholly followed me.
Amen.
Now skip down to the next verse chapter 12, look at the second part of it. And Joshua the son of Nun, save Caleb and Joshua the son of Nun, who have wholly followed the Lord. You see, folks, our problem is we're not entirely consecrated. We're not going all the way. You know what? We're compromisers. We're a bunch of stinking compromisers.
Yeah.
And we wonder why, you know, things aren't happening for us. We wonder why things aren't moving forward. You can't compromise. You say, we don't compromise. We don't have contemporary Christian music in our church or anything like that. That doesn't mean you're not a compromiser. You know, you might be doing the outward things. You might have a King James Bible. That doesn't mean you're not a compromiser.
Yeah.
Plenty of King James Bible readers that are compromised up to their necks. And it's time to wholly follow the Lord.
Yeah.
What does that mean, to wholly follow the Lord? What does the word holy mean? It means entirely, completely, perfectly. You need to be following the Lord with everything. Not just on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Not just when everybody else is around you. When you close the front door to your home, it was interesting, Pastor Pittman, you know, sharing with us that he's had victory over, you know, an anger problem for the past few weeks, and that's fantastic. But you know what? There's so many people that aren't having victory like that.
Yeah.
There's so many people that aren't having victory like that, and they're compromised in that area.
Yeah, good.
You know what? If you know there's sin in your life, you know there's compromise in your life, you can't wholly follow the Lord. You know what you end up being like? You end up being like the other 10 bums that went into the promised land. The blessings are all in front of them, but they can't see a thing. God has laid out a table before them, and all they can come in and see is nothing. They can't see anything. Where Joshua and Caleb go in, they see the table, they want to sit down and start scramming. You know why you can't see the table set before you? You can't see God leading in your life and God blessing your life because you're compromising. Maybe you're compromising with your television. Maybe you're compromising with what comes out of your mouth. Maybe you're compromising what you're listening to. Maybe you're compromising in the friends you keep, the places you go. Maybe you're compromising with your eyes. You know, you might have everything in your life lined up. You might have good standards. You might have a dress on your wife. You might have your wife wearing good clothes. You might have your kids disciplined and stuff like that. You might read a King James Bible. You might listen to good godly music. You might be in church every time the doors are open. But see, if you don't have control of your eyes,
yeah, that's right.
Everything else means nothing.
Amen.
You know what? Nothing. Because you're corrupt from the inside out.
Yeah.
You're compromised.
Yeah.
You've let sin in the door and it just destroys you from the inside out. You might be able to mask it, man.
Yeah.
You know, you might be good at masking it. You know, the people in your family mightn't even know that you're, you know, looking at pornography. You know what? Your wife mightn't notice that when you're driving down the road, you're looking out the side window rather than looking out the front window. Looking at the women going by.
Yeah.
You know, we need to wholly follow the Lord.
Amen.
We need to get the compromise out of our life.
Amen.
You know, I'll be different for us all. So I don't really have a problem with that per se. But you know what? It's the biggest problem that men have, I believe.
That's right. That's true.
But you know what? It's a sneaky one because you can do it without being known.
Yeah.
And it's only you and God that really know.
Yeah.
But you know what? God knows.
Yeah.
God really knows. And you wonder why you're not being blessed. It's because you're compromising because you're not wholly following the Lord. You know what? God doesn't want just your toilet on a Sunday. He doesn't want you just to be in church. He wants you to wholly follow Him.
Amen.
Wholly follow the Lord. Entirely consecrated. Joshua was a man who wholly followed the Lord. You know what? Your life is like a big hotel. A big, dirty, stinking hotel with loads of rooms. And the issue in your life is, you know, you have so many rooms in your life. But you're the key master. You're the one that has all these keys to all these hotel rooms. And they're all stinking because you've lived a life of sin. If you're like me, I've probably more rooms than most of you. But you know what? You have the keys. God is the cleaner. And He wants to come in and clean up your life. But you know what? He's a gentleman. And he'll not come and kick in your front door and go in there and clean up your life. He won't do that. He will put pressure and conviction there, and he will put hardship in your way. But you know what? He won't come in and clean up your life if you don't let him. You know what? He won't come in and clean up your thinking if you don't let him.
That's right.
You know what? Stinking thinking leads to
drugs and drinking.
You know what, folks? It leads to a whole lot more than that. Stinking thinking leads to bondage. Stinking thinking leads to just us being useless for God. Useless in our family. Because you can't be used of God even in your family if you're, you know, stinking thinking is controlling your life. You know, we need to let God into that big hotel, into our big lives, and let him into all the rooms. Let him into all the rooms. Holy, follow the Lord.
Amen.
Open up all the rooms. Don't keep the basement hid where you think nobody knows. God knows.
Amen.
God knows. You want to prosper, you need to holy follow the Lord. You know what? There was a whole generation that didn't go to the promised land because of sin and unbelief in their life. I wonder, are you going to grasp all that God has for you?
Yeah.
Are you going to holy follow the Lord? Don't hold on to sin. It will only end up destroying you. You know, and understand that nobody cleans up like Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody can clean up a life like Jesus. So you just need to let Jesus into your life and he'll clean it up. How do you think he does that? How do you think he cleans up somebody's life? I'll tell you how he done it for me. Well, I would say, yeah, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3 for a minute. Just going to show you a little interesting thing that I read this morning. And not in a commentary or anything like that. I read it in the Bible.
Yeah.
I didn't get my sermon off sermonspice.com either.
It's,
come on, you know what that is. it's just one of them places people get sermons. Anyway, that's not from here anyway. Joshua 3:1. What does it say? Joshua rose early.
Amen.
Man, isn't that good? Joshua was an early riser.
Amen.
You know, 5 times in the book of Joshua, it says, Joshua rose early.
Gee.
Do you not think that's something that we need to grasp hold of? You know what? We need to grasp hold of that. This isn't rocket science. You know, I have no education at all. I can't even say it. You know? But I know something. I know if you get up early and seek the Lord, the Bible says you're going to find him. You know what? David said, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Because it's too late when you've done all the sin during the day and you haven't got what God wanted for you that morning. You need to get up early in the morning. How many of us? And don't you dare lie. Don't lie. Because I know somebody that didn't read the Bible, and if they stick up their hand, I'm going to name you right now. Who here this morning read their Bibles? Okay. Not everybody was able to read a hand. You know why? Because I guarantee you went to bed with the best of intentions, but when the alarm clock went off, you didn't get up. You didn't get up. And I didn't know anybody. I was just making sure you didn't like me. You know what? Not only do we need to holy follow the Lord, but you know what? To holy follow the Lord means you get up early and you seek after God in the morning. And you make sure that you get the batteries charged up every morning. Because you know what? Yesterday's manna is gone off. It stinks already. You need something fresh in your belly. You need something fresh for yourself. And you know what? You can't just keep going and getting it in church. You know, a lot of people, you know, don't read their Bibles on a Sunday. You know why? Because the pastor's read his and he's going to feed us when we go to church. You know what, folks? We need to be early risers if we're going to be leaders in our homes. We need to be early risers. If your wife gets up before you, shame on you.
Amen.
Shame on you if your wife gets up earlier than you. And, you know, Pastor O'Gorman, he gets up at 4 o'clock. If you don't get up before... But you need to be getting up early. But you know what? Joshua knew if he didn't get up early and get the things that he needed done, he didn't seek the Lord in the morning, you know what? He knew he would miss out. He knew it wouldn't happen for him. Because if you don't get up early and dedicate yourself to do it, you miss out and you think, I'll get to it later on, and you don't get to it. And it's always the same. It's the same for everybody. You need to seek the Lord early. The Bible says it's a promise. You're going to find them. You know what? You didn't forget to get dressed this morning. All you that didn't raise your hand. And I'm glad you didn't forget to get dressed this morning. But everybody remember to put on their clothes this morning. You know what? You didn't remember to read your Bible. It wasn't that important to you.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly what you need. This weekend, this few days away, this is exactly what you need. It's a jump start in your Christian life to get you going in the right direction again.
Amen.
To get you moving forward again. This is exactly what you need. You know, the Lord is faithful. We need to remember that the Lord is faithful. But Luke 16:10 says, He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You know what? You want God to use you. You want God to trust you. You get faithful in getting up early in the morning and reading your Bible and seeking the Lord in the morning. You need to get faithful in it. It needs to be a faithful thing. That's why in the men's home, man, what time do you start reading your Bible out in the morning?
7.
7 o'clock. What time do you finish reading your Bible in the morning?
8.
Okay. How long is that for, everybody?
Oh.
Bunch of geniuses. Geniuses. You know what? You're smarter than you look. But I tell you, folks, the men have an hour. Why do they have an hour in the morning? To meet with God. Because they need it. You need it too.
Yeah.
You need it too. You say, I've never been on drugs. I only need 15 minutes. I only need 5 minutes. I only need the word for today or UCB. Let me tell you. You're kidding yourself on, folks.
Amen.
You're kidding yourself on. The men just know they need it. That's the difference. And we know the men need it. So, you know what? If you would do what the men do, you'd be a whole lot better off.
Yeah.
Some of you need into the men's home. We're taking up recruits. We'll have some spaces in our van going back if you want to jump in. You know what? You need to wholly follow the Lord. You need to seek the Lord early. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to what is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You know what? When I was a drug addict, it was learning to follow the Bible and read the Bible that changed my life. That changed my character. The Bible will change your character. If you take on board what God says, it will change your character. Joshua knew it. He knew if he followed the Lord and sought the Lord, he would be changed. Point number 3. Joshua had a spiritual mindset. He had a spiritual mindset. Joshua 3:5. Turn there in your Bibles. Joshua 3:5. Come on, not enough rustling going on.
You're writing.
Okay, I'll slow down. Joshua had a spiritual mindset. Joshua 3:5. You know what Joshua said unto the people? He said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. You know, he expected big things from a big God. And the reason why you have so little faith and you expect so little from God is because in your mindset, God is this size and he can barely do anything.
Yeah,
you know what? He can save me. Yeah, and he's that size, I don't think so. If God was able to save somebody like me and you, he must be a big God.
Amen.
If God was able to do all the work that he's done in my life and in the men's lives, he's able to do it in your life too.
Yes.
We serve a big God and you need to get a bigger expectation of what you're relying upon God to do. The reason why some of you haven't gone into full-time ministry, and this is going to hurt you. This is going to hurt you.
Brother.
The reason why some of you haven't gone into full-time ministry right now is because you're afraid of the financial pinch in your life.
Yeah.
And that's what's holding you back. The reason why you haven't stepped out in faith is because you're saying, I would have to go away for all these years and raise support and do all this kind of stuff. You know what? Years ago they didn't do that.
That's true.
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I didn't raise support for 4 years before I started the ministry. Come over. I moved out of my home in Scotland, took my pregnant wife, we jumped in our car, and we moved over to Ireland about 4 years ago or something like that. We have €500 a month when no church is going to give us any more money. And you know what? The Lord met our needs all the way.
Amen.
And as you can see from how slim I am, I haven't gone short of food. You know what? God is still able to meet your needs.
Amen.
You know, you need to maybe step out and seek the Lord about stepping out. I'm not talking about being an idiot. I'm just talking about if God leads you to full-time ministry, you're meant to be in full-time ministry. You're not meant to be hanging about doing nothing. You're meant to be in full-time ministry, going after the things of God. You know, expect big things because he's a big God. You know, this is another reason why you need the Bible. So we can read about the things in the Bible. We can see what God has done. You know, Joshua, you know, could go and take the promised land because, you know, he had seen God do wondrous things in his life. He had seen God bring him out of bondage. He had seen God part the Red Sea. He had walked through on dry ground.
That's right.
You know what, folks? that brings your faith up to that size.
Yeah.
You know what? If you read that in the Bible and you believe what the Bible says, that should bring your faith up here too.
That's good.
But you know why it doesn't? Because you don't believe the book.
That's exactly
why? Because you're compromised.
Because
you don't really trust God as much as you say. You know what? You held your book up last night. You held the Bible up last night. I tell you, if you only believed it as much as you held it up, you'd be going places. You'd be moving forward. You know what? You need to believe the book. If God says it, you can take it to the bank. He's going to do it. You know what? I hope you're expecting big things from these meetings. I hope you came charged up and pumped up, ready to move forward and be different leaving. Because if you didn't, you wasted €50. And you could have paid for me, because that's what I came for. And that's the truth. I came to be charged up going home. I didn't come so I could preach. I came so I could listen to the preaching.
Amen.
I came so I could come and listen to the singing and be involved in the singing.
Amen.
You know what? Maybe you should go home and give me the rest of the money that you came to spend if you're not here to get charged up and get moving on for the Lord.
Amen.
Don't waste your time. Don't waste other people's time. Let's believe what the book says. Let's expect God to do big things. Let's get a bigger picture of who God is and depend upon Him to do what He says. God is a big God. We need to get a spiritual mindset in our life and we'll move on just like Joshua did. Point number four, we really need to move on. Joshua had a godly reverence. You know what? He knew who he was. He knew who God was. The Bible says in Joshua 5:14, it says, "And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord,